Welcome to Revolution Weekly, where we dive into the details of our many periodic revolutions, elections. I'm your host, Alvin, and today we're going to be talking about the 2020 US elections. So about a few weeks ago, as you all may know, Joe Biden has finally been inaugurated as the 46th president of the United States. Now, of course, you know, like before that had happened, we had all the drama in Capitol Hill. And of course, you know, like the 2020 election, and just like because of just how weird 2020 has been, like we would like to forget all that has happened. But, you know, today I'm going to be here to like run you through everything and to like, you know, just tell you basically what happened and like what happened before that and just kind of like what might happen likely in the future as a result of what has happened recently. So the way I've decided to do this first episode of mine is to divide it into three different parts. So in the first part, we're going to be talking about the primary season, which is, as you remember, you know, started way back early last year. You know, I mean, of course, the Republican primary was basically non-existent. So we're going to be focusing mostly on the Democratic primary. And then we're going to be talking about, of course, the second part, the election itself, you know, like the Joe Biden, Donald Trump election. And, you know, we're going to use like a third part to just kind of like talk about what has happened like since that particular election, you know, the Georgia runoff election, the Capitol insurrection, things like that. And, you know, and the sort of electoral implications that might have going forward. Now, I've actually recorded an episode earlier than this, you know, kind of like going up to the election season. But I'm so glad that I've decided to like record this much later because, you know, like a lot of the things that have happened like since that particular election has been really interesting. And, you know, and without the hindsight, I think, you know, I might have not been able to go into the topic as much. So anyways, let's just start with our first episode ever and the first part of this three-part series on the 2020 election about the primary. We're going to start this episode about the primaries. You know, so basically what happened? You know, like what are primaries? So, you know, as you may know, the U.S. currently runs on a two-party system. You know, so you have Democrats and Republicans. And of course, to choose the presidential candidate, you kind of have to have an election within the party. It's basically an election before the actual election itself, which is like the actual national election between the two parties. So, you know, initially, you know, like way back when, you know, I didn't really pay much attention to these primary elections. And of course, and I'm pretty sure like most of the world doesn't really know about these elections anyway. So don't worry, I'll be holding your hand through all of this. Just so, you know, because when it was happening, I learned a lot as well. And so hopefully you can learn a lot from this too. So, you know, it's like, so like I said, the Republican primaries basically non-existent. And this is the presidential primary, by the way. So, of course, you know, as you know, Donald Trump is the candidate for president in this particular election season. And that's how it's always been, right? You know, it's like if you're incumbent in the office, it's, you know, it's almost never, it almost never happens where, you know, you actually get kicked out, right? In favor of like another, you know, candidate to come in, like, you know, like in the middle of your term, it just never happens. So of course, you know, Donald Trump would automatically, you know, like went through like what primary procedures there were, you know, where like, you know, people voted for who they would like to be their presidential candidate. And of course, you know, Donald Trump won every single state, hands down. There was a couple of like, you know, like candidates who tried to like run against Donald Trump. And of course, you know, like none of them got any attention. And of course, that's why, you know, we don't really talk about them. But anyways, now we get to the really exciting primary, the Democratic primary. Now, the Democratic primary, this particular election cycle, was interesting to me because, I mean, you know, this is like the first one that I've actually paid attention to. And it's the first one, you know, and it's the one with the most candidates, actually. It's like in the history of, you know, like Democratic primaries, this is the one with the most candidates. There was over 20 candidates to start. So, you know, you kind of have like your big names, like, you know, of course, Joe Biden, obviously. So then, and you also have, you know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, who's now vice president, funny story. And, you know, it's like Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, you know, it's like, and unless, you know, you're really like into it, you probably wouldn't even know like some of these names, you know, like Beto O'Rourke and like, you know, you have more obscure people as well. And the list goes on and on. But anyways, so, you know, we have all of these players coming in. And of course, like initially, I think it's like the field was so big that I think it's like in the first few debates, they kind of had to do this weird thing where they divided the candidates equally. and kind of like made them debate in two different nights. Now, of course, like I said, this has never happened before. So it's so certainly interesting to see, you know, it's like the kind of combinations that, you know, ended up happening in these debates, where it's like, oh, you know, you can see, oh, Bernie Sanders is going to go against Joe Biden this night. Or it's like, oh, all of like the people who are polling really high were all going to go in one night, and then the other night, it was just going to be like, you know, the first debate, I think, was like Elizabeth Warren going against everybody else who was like polling less than 1%. So I think it's like, that was like initially very interesting to watch. And it was like, no, actually, like I said, this started early 2020. No, I actually take that back. This actually started in the middle of 2019. I remember actually. Yeah, no, so I think it's like, that was like initially, you know, it was just like a crowded field. And it's like, although, you know, we all kind of knew, you know, it was like, who would be like five or six who were actually like, you know, like relevant, like prominent, you know, like candidates who actually had a chance. Of course, you know, but it was still interesting nevertheless to see a whole bunch of like new faces, old faces, people, you know, just kind of like duking it out basically. And I think it's like, it kind of also speaks to like the wider, you know, party divide that you've been seeing since arguably 2016, where it's like, you know, in the Democratic Party, where it's like between progressives and, you know, like establishment Democrats. So it's like, you know, you kind of course, you know, Joe Biden, you know, it's like, would be like an establishment Democrat, and Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren would be like a progressive Democrat. So I think it's like, that I think was like, besides, you know, like the squabble of like 20 different people talking about whatever they talk about, trying to get attention. It's like the other big battle was that basically it was like for like the soul of the party, as it were. It's like, you know, it's like, who was actually going to like, you know, like take over the party? Was it, are we actually finally going to see a progressive takeover in Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren? Or are we going to see a reinstatement or like a strengthening of the status quo in Joe Biden? Now, of course, you know, being that Joe Biden is president now, you would say, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, we kind of already knew what happened there. But how we got there is really interesting. So I think that's why I'd like to really dive more into like this, you know, idea of primaries. So yeah, like I said, it was like late 2019, and you kind of had a couple of debates where it's like, you know, candidates are just throwing things around. But I think it's like, ultimately, yeah, like I said, it was like this big battle between progressives and establishment Democrats. And I think that was like, watching the debates, that was like the big ideas that were being thrown around. You know, should we have Medicare for all? Should we have, should we legalize drugs? Should we do criminal justice reform? Things like that, you know? $15 minimum wage. Interestingly, I think it's like, which one of those few things that like when Joe Biden is for, you know? So I think it's like, you kind of like from the dynamics of these first few debates, you could actually really see that, you know, progressive ideas are actually gaining traction within the party, so much so that, you know, like a lot of candidates actually started out very progressive. But I think it's like over time, as they realized that the progressive lane has like kind of like been taken up by, you know, of course, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, they've kind of had to like backtrack the progressive messaging, because, you know, that's not where the money is. The money is, of course, with corporate interest, and corporate interest supports establishment Democrats. So, you know, candidates like, you know, Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, Pete Buttigieg were initially out the door, they were very progressive. And I think it's like Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg in particular was interesting in a sense that initially they actually supported Medicare for all. They actually supported all of like these progressive measures. But in the last minute, you know, it's like eventually they kind of started backing out of it. And the thing is, like, around the same time, you could actually see that, you know, they're starting to see like an uptick in like corporate donations and corporate money. And of course, like a very different like messaging. So of course, like, you know, like Pete Buttigieg, for example, started out saying, oh yeah, you know, let's do Medicare for all. But like eventually, you know, he kind of like angled to like this other messaging, which is, you know, let's do Medicare for all who want it, which is basically a public option. Which, you know, which is also like what Joe Biden is for. And that's the other thing. I think it's like, you know, it's like you kind of had, I would say, you know, hypocrites basically. So you kind of had those kinds of candidates. But then you also have candidates like Joe Biden who, you know, who of course, you know, is very establishment, is as establishment as they come. But, you know, I think it's like seeing the winds of political change, you could really see him like starting to embrace some of these progressive ideas. $15 minimum wage, you know, I think like a public option and things like that. Now, see, of course, it's really interesting because, you know, now that he's in there, you know, it's like now some people are like actually looking back into like these old debates, and like they're seeing, it's like, oh, you know, like you said, you want four of these things, but, you know, like we want it, you know, like, where are you going to live with it or not? Now, I think it's like, it's more likely that he wouldn't. And even if he doesn't, that means it was purely messaging. It was purely signaling to people. It was like, it wasn't, he was conceding in like rhetorically, but he wasn't actually conceding in any meaningful way. So of course, you know, you could like look at this and say, oh, you know, like the corporate Democrats, like the establishment Democrats ultimately, you know, kind of like won out, you know. So, and that, you know, the progressives actually don't really have a platform per se. But I think it's like, on the other hand, you could say, oh, you know, it's like because the fact that he had to change his messaging, the fact that he had to pander to progressives somehow showed that, you know, maybe they actually do have some power in the party. But anyways, so, you know, so we have these debates. So then we get to Iowa. So just like we get to primary season, which is like, almost Iowa being the first state is always like the one that everyone's always like watching, everyone's always eagerly campaigning in. So it's like Iowa in any other context in American life, culture, and politics is irrelevant. But in this particular instance, in the instance of primaries, both Democrat and Republican, Iowa is significant because it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the election. But anyways, so, you know, Republican primary, nothing to talk about there. Donald Trump swept it. Democratic primary, now this is like where it gets interesting, because I think initially it was like throughout the whole, you know, election cycle, right before the primaries, Joe Biden has been polling consistently high. And I think that's because, you know, it was like, you say, you know, oh, Joe Biden, would you want him as president? Most people would be like, who's Joe Biden? But if you say, oh, you know, Obama's vice president, and you're like, oh, I liked Obama, so I should like Joe Biden too. So I think because of that, you know, like initially Joe Biden's polling was very high. It was very nice. It was very good. And in terms of second place, you know, you kind of like see Elizabeth Warren come up sometimes. You kind of see other name, Kamala Harris, who came up really far at one point too. But I think it's like consistently, the most consistent, it's always been Bernie Sanders. That's always head to head with Joe Biden. So it's like Bernie's always second and Joe Biden's always first. So that's the dynamic, right? Oh, that's always been the most consistent dynamic right before we get into Iowa. Now, once we do get into Iowa, it's interesting because the results tell a completely different story. So in terms of popular vote, Bernie won the primary in that state. But because it's a caucus system, technically Pete Buttigieg ended up walking out with more delegates than Bernie Sanders. So basically, in case you don't know, it's like a caucus is basically, you know, instead of like a purely popular vote election, purely popular vote primary, where, you know, you just kind of like put your favorite candidate in a box, they count it out, that's the guy who won, and they divide the delegates accordingly. No, it's like, so in a caucus situation, each kind of county or each like district, each electoral district, I think, basically does this thing where, like, you know, they all try to reach a consensus. So, you know, initially they would ask the whole room, oh, hey, which candidate do you like? And then they would kind of like try to shrink and shrink and shrink. So it's like the candidate with the least amount of votes are encouraged to then join the other groups. And they just keep doing this until, you know, they're down to like, you know, like the fewest candidate possible, basically. Or it's like about, even like in some cases, like one candidate that the whole room can like agree on, one or two, you know. So basically, because of just how that is, Pete Buttigieg ended up winning slightly by a slight margin. But interestingly, I think there was like a big case, and I think it's like it kind of new details unfolded about that a few weeks ago, where it's like they had doing this thing this year, first time, where it's like they had using like an app. So but things like, and like this app, interestingly enough, you know, like received a lot of money from the Pete Buttigieg campaign. So I'm not saying anything, but I think it's like that is cause for suspicion for like a lot of people, and I think, and rightly so. So I think it's like, I don't know, at one point in the middle of the day, I think it's like the app just kind of glitched, and like everything, you know, the data became all wonky and stuff, and, you know, things like, and even before all of this was resolved, Pete Buttigieg went out and declared victory, which is, again, very fishy. Now, so of course, you know, but anyways, so okay, so let's just give Iowa to Pete Buttigieg technically, even though Bernie won the popular vote in that case. Now, of course, like, and like, if you're wondering where Kamala Harris is in all this, Kamala Harris dropped out right before primaries started. So In case you didn't know, Kamala Harris is a senator from California, was a senator from California. So, in order to make sure that she's able to run again as senator of California, she would have to drop out, before the registration deadline. And the registration deadline was before primaries started. So, of course, seeing she probably was like rolling out on like 5% in the polls, seeing that, I think it's like she made the right call to like just drop out ultimately. So she did that. So she, you know, so we don't. So we ne we'll never know how Kamala Harris would have done in a Democratic primary. But anyways, the next state that that we go to is New Hampshire, which is like the other state that I went to look at. So I think it's like if you're, so I think it's like if you're following along right now, there's like I'm not going to talk about every single state. So interestingly, this is like how like the American election cycle works. So you kind of look at Iowa really closely. You look at New Hampshire really closely. You look at Nevada really closely. Then you look at South Carolina. So these four states are like the first ones who are voting, and that's why they're given special attention. Then you have something called Super Tuesday, where about 13 states vote all at the same time. And these are big states. So think California and Texas, definitely in there. I think New York might be in there as well. But anyways, so it's like in this one day, 13 states vote. And after that, there's like waves and waves of like states, five states, six states at a time, keeps voting. And from there, it just kind of peters out because then eventually we could kind of tell who's winning and who's losing. So going back to New Hampshire. So of course, New Hampshire, being like in New England, being like in the Pacific Northwest, that region of the US, like New York, and you just go upstate, up a couple of states. So that region has always been very progressive historically. So of course, it's no surprise that Bernie ended up winning there. So it's like, so Bernie, won hands down. And they over there, they just had like a primary with like a popular vote. It's like, so just people just put names in boxes, like a normal election. So Bernie won there. And of course, it's like Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren trailing behind him. And no particular order. Now, interestingly enough, I think it's like the first two states here, Joe Biden actually did terribly. Joe Biden finished like, I think it was like fourth in Iowa and like fifth in New Hampshire. And this was a guy who had been polling the highest throughout the time before the primaries. So the fact that, he's trailing behind is well, it's interesting to say the least, because this was a guy who we expected to like, to like be really competitive, but he just was not at all. So, it's like sudden, like everybody was saying, oh, it's like, well, it's a DN for Joe Biden. And I was like, and then like, because, like progressives like to say, Bernie won the first two states. But I think it's like, and like other people will say, oh, Pete Buttigieg won the first one and Bernie won the second one. So, okay. But this third win, the Nevada, in Nevada, Bernie Sanders won again and won in a landslide. Now, at this point, a lot of progressives were saying, oh, this is like, we're seeing a Bernie wave, like, could Bernie actually do it? Because historically, this the candidate that's been able to win, like the win Iowa, win like New Hampshire, it's like if they can win these first few states, because these, and bear in mind, these are very different states. So of course, Iowa is Midwestern, in the middle of the U.S., smack dab, usually votes Republican. Then you have New Hampshire, which is like I said, Pacific Northwest, very progressive, very liberal. Then you have Nevada, which is like swing state, right? So, so a candidate that's able to win all three states, Iowa, like I said, arguable, but a candidate that's able to like do really well or win in these three states, it's like you could say, oh, like that means they're basically doing gonna do well all over the country, because you kind of have these like three kinds of states, swing state, blue states, and red states, basically. So Bernie won Nevada in a landslide, and Nevada, of course, is a swing state. Which bodes well for his electoral prospects for two people at the time. So then what ended up happening was, of course, like Bernie won a landslide in Nevada. And again, Joe Biden was nowhere to be seen. And so, at that point, people were saying, oh, like is this a Bernie wave? Is Bernie Sanders actually going to be the candidate? And I think a lot of people in progressive circles were like really giddy about it. And oh, and I think it's like a notable mention. So I think it's like, in case like I know like some people, a good amount of people supports Andrew Yang too, but like Andrew Yang like lost in Iowa. I think he got like no delegates in Iowa, so Andrew Yang dropped out right after that. Just another one mention. But anyways, so so Bernie wins Nevada, Bernie wins New Hampshire, Bernie wins the popular vote in Iowa. So So, of course, at this point, everyone's saying, oh, you know, could this be it? Then comes South Carolina. Now, of course, you know, I think it's like Joe Biden historically has done really well with black voters, interestingly. So, like, so at the end, and of course, South Carolina is a state with a huge black population. Of course, you know, like Nevada has a huge Latino population. And Bernie, on the other hand, does really well with Latinos. So that's probably a big reason why he was able to win Nevada. So, you know, like South Carolina, huge black population. And at the same time, you know, he got endorsements from like, particularly, I think it was Jim Clyburn, just like a black senator from South Carolina. And because I think like that ultimately, I think reassured a lot of moderate black voters to vote for Joe Biden. Now, the moment South Carolina happened, so, you know, it's like, it could, the dynamics changed completely. Bernie, I think, won second, but Joe Biden won his first state. So, you know, it's like, so then in that case, then yeah, it's like, so all of a sudden Joe Biden's campaign has been reinvigorated. He's just done terribly, fourth place, fifth place, third place in the last few states, in the last three states. And like now he's 91, he finally won a state. And like, you know, but since some people at the time, like a lot of progressives were saying, oh, you know, it's okay. Like, this is just like a bump in the road, as it were. But no, it's like, this is actually hearkening the things that come, because from this point on, spoiler alert, Joe Biden ended up winning almost every single state. Then comes Super Tuesday, which basically spelled the end of the Bernie wave. So the night before Super Tuesday, so Super Tuesday, I think it was like March 13th or something like that. So like sometime in March. So the night before that, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, which were candidates who were doing averagely well at that point, of course, Pete, you know, being the one to like win the most delegates in Iowa, they both basically dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden wholeheartedly, just completely just dropped out at the same time and just put their back to, you know, put their support to Joe Biden. Now, if you're wondering why, you know, like, because, you know, it's politics, you know, it's like, I think like, you know, like they could stay in the race and, you know, risk a Bernie Sanders win and not get anything, or they could stay in the race and just not win. Because at this point, obviously, they know they have no chance. But so what happened was basically, yeah, like I said, they dropped out. Like it was like really late at night. They did like an event in Texas, I believe. And they both basically dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden. And then they also got Beto O'Rourke out to endorse Joe Biden too. Now, if you're wondering, you know, why, what are they getting out of it? Well, I mean, Pete Buttigieg right now is transportation secretary, and we haven't seen what Amy Klobuchar is going to be, or like if she's going to do anything. So, you know, we'll like hold on to that. But Pete Buttigieg got something out of it. Pete Buttigieg is in Joe Biden's cabinet now, right now, as transportation secretary. So, you know, you could say, you know, he did win out in the end. He did get something in the end. But anyways, so right after that, because the moderate candidates at that point, at that point, there was only like five viable candidates left. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Joe Biden. Everybody else, no offense, irrelevant. But anyways, so we have these five candidates. Three moderates and two progressives. Now, two moderates dropped out and endorsed the one moderate, Joe Biden. So now immediately, just like that, the moderate vote has been consolidated into one candidate. And at the same time, you know, it's like the media, you know, of course, media loves, you know, moderate Democrats. The media loves corporate Democrats. You know, so that's why things like you've always like seen Bernie Sanders being smeared, you know, over, you know, things like most recently, funnily enough, about like his mittens being smeared over is anything they can like get their hands on, anything they can write. Whereas Joe Biden has always, you know, received fawning coverage, so, you know, especially particularly, I think what ended up being really important in this particular primary season was the argument of electability, in that, you know, who is the best candidate to beat Donald Trump? Bernie Sanders, if you were to poll everyone in the US, everyone would say, yeah, I love Bernie Sanders. I like his ideas. I like his proposals, but I think he's too radical. Now, of course, it was like, why? And it's like, because he's too radical, I don't think he can beat Donald Trump. Now, of course, you know, multiple polls would say that's not true, but to the average American, to the average Democrat, member to, just to people not really into politics. Yeah, it makes sense, but he's too radical. So, how could you get Republicans to vote for him if he's too radical? So I think that's why ultimately a lot of people managed, settled for Joe, basically. So it was like, oh, I like Bernie, but Joe's better. Or it's like, oh, like the media keeps telling me, Joe's better. Joe's more moderate. Joe's more likely to get right-wing voters. So and so, so and so. So anyways, Super Tuesday happens. It was like that. Joe Biden won over half of the states. Joe Biden won Texas. Joe Biden won. It was like a good number of states that Joe Biden won. Bernie managed to win California, but by a slimmer margin than what he would have gotten. So at this point, three candidates left: Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. Now, of course, Elizabeth Warren, like her or hate her, she did end up like sucking up a lot of votes from Bernie Sanders. So I think like with the progressive votes split and the moderate vote consolidated at the same time with the relentless media campaign, paint Joe Biden as the most electable candidate. And just like, because of that, over time, as other states began to vote, yeah, Joe Biden ended up winning every single state. It was just no question. Like the last time Bernie won a state, like the last time Bernie wins a state in this particular primary was during Super Tuesday, unless you count America Samoa as a state. It was like Bernie won America Samoa, but that's it. But it's like, after that, Joe Biden won every single state. Bernie came in second, mind you, of course, obviously. It was only Elizabeth Warren, I think it's like tried to do this thing where she stabbed Bernie in the back, where it's like she was calling him a sexist and whatever. So, that was interesting. I'm totally uncalled for. And mind you, they were supposed to be best friends. So I think in one of the debates, interestingly enough, I think Bernie actually went down the stage pretty grumpy. And there was actually leaked audio of like them arguing after the debates. Look it up. So that happened. Of course, then because of that, it became even progressive vote even became even more fractured. But eventually she dropped out ultimately long after it would have made an impact. So but at that point, Joe Biden was just winning every single state, basically. No question. So then, you suddenly start seeing something called the Biden wave. And this was like a wave. Oh, this was a much bigger wave than the Bernie wave, because the Bernie wave was only winning three or four states. The Biden wave won everything after Super Tuesday, April. Think primaries in April, May, like June. He just won everything. And of course, the progressives at this point was just like, oh my God, it was horrible in a sense where it's like everyone came in. I think it's like, and I do sympathize with progressives, of course, and it's like, in case you can't tell, but it's like, it's like everyone came in with like the optimism was like, oh, are we actually gonna get President Bernie Sanders? Because of course, like two progressives, obviously Bernie Sanders is gonna beat Trump. Obviously Bernie Sanders is better than Trump. But as April, May, and June rolled on, like people, as more and more, like people endorse Joe Biden, like people who dropped out initially and stuff like that, eventually it just became a bloodbath, basically. And like by the time June rolls around, like the actual Democratic National Convention where they actually confirm the presidential candidate, yeah, it's like at this point there was just no chance. At this point, the talk was more about how Bernie can get concessions. And of course, as Bernie ultimately dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden. Now, of course, like what he got out of it. Initially, it's like it didn't seem like he got anything out of it. And I think it's like that made a lot of people really angry. But, things like with Bernie dropping out, the thing, of course, now, he's chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, which is, in case you don't know, is a very important position. And we're going to talk about more about that in part three. But anyways, so like by that point, after Bernie dropped out and there was a few states left voting, that was basically it. Primary season is basically over at that point in that. Yeah, it's like, in a sense, it was like Joe Biden is the candidate. And now the question becomes what Bernie got out of it, if he got anything out of it, and who Joe Biden's going to pick for his vice president. Now, of course, because of COVID, like the convention ended up being, it initially was supposed to be like an in-person event, ended up being a digital event. But anyways, not the backtrack, not the sidetrack or anything, but like, yeah, but basically Joe Biden ended up being the candidate. Eventually, he revealed
that Kamala Harris was his vice president. Funny enough, that actually got leaked before it was like meant to be revealed. But yeah, anyways, there you have it. So basically Joe Biden at that point was the candidate. Kamala Harris was like his vice presidential candidate. And then they were going to go up against Donald Trump, of course. Mike Pence, of course, his vice president. And that was basically, and that's basically how like the 2020 election is set up. And this was like around June, July, you know, where all of this was like kind of like confirmed. All right, in the second part, we're going to be talking about the actual 2020 election, as it were. You know, kind of the build up, the campaigning, you know, it's like what like the polls were saying initially, the kind of factors that ended up like making it for Joe Biden, and like how like, you know, Trump as an incumbent lost, all these kinds of interesting topics. So, you know, see you in the second part.